Welcome on into the Infant Allen Show, episode 40. Big 4-0. It is, I believe, July 10th. Monday. I think Mondays is just when the pod comes out now. I don't really know. I change it every week, but I think Mondays. Actually, this one will come out Tuesday because it's like 10:53 p.m. on Monday right now, Eastern. Special guest this week to celebrate episode 40. Which I guess is a big milestone. That is Loon Schmidt. Had him on. Talked about everything under the sun. Mostly hockey and jerseys and boobs at one point. But so stay tuned for that. Turned on the Stanley Cup Finals. Was inspired by my chat with Loon Schmidt and actually turned it on. There may have been a moment in that interview and where, you know, it was revealed that I didn't know puck, and so now I'm watching. It's kind of electric. I mean, I've always said it's electric. I've never watched a hockey game and been like, wow, that sucks. But I just never go back, I guess. I don't get locked in. Anyway, watching it, Florida's up 3-1 at this point. Over Edmonton, who is playing in the Stanley Cup Final. Not a ton of big news Minnesota sports this week. I think I'm going to start with the NBA Finals just because that's kind of the main sporting event going on. And a little bit to be learned about the Timberwolves based on some of the stuff we've seen in the first two games of the NBA Finals. We'll talk about the Twins a little bit. Big jersey news, obviously, both for the Twins and the Vikings. So, that was something that I talked to. I'm yawning because it's, you know, 10:53. that was something that I talked to Loon Schmidt about. So, we'll save that for that conversation. So, it's probably going to be a quicker sort of Twins topic. Just me today. McDavid, I believe that's McDavid on a PowerPoint. Not a pow-plaw, a breakaway. He did not score. Anyway, then we have an interesting post-game. Actually, kind of a sick story of a post-game. but let's get started. NBA Finals. So, obviously, the Mavericks, who killed us in five games, didn't really kill us, but close games for four of them and killed us in the fifth game, are now relatively getting killed by the Celtics. Certainly, the first game, they got killed pretty badly. Game was close at one point, but the Celtics took a big lead again after blowing a bit of a big lead as the Mavericks got it to 8, but then they pulled ahead again, as I mentioned. Ended up being 107-89. Second game ended up being 105-98. Was a lot closer. The Celtics didn't shoot well at all and still won by 7 points. So, I guess we'll talk about the series as it is or in and of itself. Before sort of getting into what it teaches us about the NBA and what it teaches us about potentially our Wolves, if anything. When we talked about the Mavericks last, when they beat the Timberwolves to go to the finals, we talked about how they're a team that beats you with individual creative play, individual talent, individual excellence over a system, and how the Timberwolves were a team that operates primarily on a system, and then when they need a bucket, they go to Ant, and then Cat tries to be that guy, and it doesn't work so well. But that a team that can hang with our system is going to always beat us individually. What we have in the Celtics, what we've come across in the Celtics, and what was maybe like a bit of a sleeping giant throughout the entire playoffs because they didn't play anybody and were never pushed in that way, is a team that has a very, very good system and elite players everywhere. I haven't watched a lot of Celtics basketball this year. I mean, I watched them a bit in the regular season when they're on, you know, because they're on a lot, national, you know, TV a lot. Didn't watch a lot of them in the playoffs. It was usually the game where I was like, oh, okay, I don't need to watch this one. I've been watching a lot of basketball. I don't need to watch this one. Or I'm watching a different game that's going on at a similar time, whatever. just because I assumed that every Celtics game, you know, when they're facing the shitty Heat team, facing a not that great Pacers team, facing the Cavs team, whatever, you just kind of assume they're going to win each of those games, and so didn't really feel like I needed to tune in all the time. So I haven't watched a lot of Celtics basketball. In watching these two games, you're kind of reminded of, oh, wait, there's a borderline all-star at every position in their starting five. Kristaps Porzingis, maybe, don't know if he's been an all-star, but he's been at an all-star level before. Obviously, Jason Brown, that's somebody, isn't it? Probably. Obviously, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are all-stars this year. Jrue Holiday has been an all-star, I believe, and is an all-defensive player at the highest level. Al Horford has been an all-star before. Obviously not playing at that level anymore, but he's still a really good player that you want to have on your team in the playoffs. And then Derek White played at an all-star level this year. He's a big breakout guy for them. But everywhere you look, there's a guy who's been either been to an all-star team or is good enough this year that it would not be like crazy to put him on one, you know? And so it's just a system full of guys who are elite NBA players. And that's become something that's really, really, really hard to beat, as we can see by the Mavs getting pieced up a little bit here. The other thing to say is the role players have not been good at all. Kyrie Irving has not been good at all. And I made a case last week on the podcast that Kyrie Irving has a chance to be the best, second best player in this series. He hasn't been close to that. Makes me look like a fool for even saying that in the first place. And he hasn't been close to that good. And that's something that simply has to change if they're going to be in the series. I don't have the stats in front of me right now, but actually, I can look them up probably pretty quickly here. Kyrie was 7 of 18 shooting yesterday. So below 50% there. 0 of 3 from 3. That was yesterday. And then Thursday was 6 of 19 from shooting. That's worse. 0 of 8 from 3. 0 of 5 from 3, 0 of 8 for the series from beyond the arc. In this past game, game 2, everybody other than Luka Doncic was 1 of 8, 11, 13, 15, 16. They're 2 of 16 from 3 outside of Luka, who was 4 of 9, which is a good percentage. So, it sounds so corny and cliche and like the obvious thing, but sometimes the obvious thing is true, is that people just, to win a championship, especially to beat a team as talented as the Celtics are, every single player has to be ready for the moment. And so when it often gets talked about, if a star plays bad in the playoffs, you know, there's times that James Harden played bad, or even early in LeBron's career when he played poorly in the playoffs, etc., Jason Tatum last year type of thing, when that happens, the star gets blamed like crazy. But in reality, it is very clear when role players aren't ready for playoffs. It's very clear when, you know, the second guy that you're relying on for a lot of offense isn't ready to play in the playoffs, is sort of too scared of the moment or shrinks up in the bright lights. It's very obvious when that happens, and it happens to everybody. The role players that killed the Wolves in our series with the Mavs have yet to show up in this Celtics series. The lights just seem to have gotten a little bit too bright. Obviously, they haven't played a game at home, and the idea is always that the role players play better at home. We'll see if that actually happens. Kyrie Irving just hasn't been good. He's looked uncomfortable, has not shot the ball well at all. And he was a stone cold killer against us for most of our series, and it's been that way for the Mavs the entire second half of the year. So those are the things that need to sort of change for the Mavs, and if you accept the fact that those things might change, or you assume that they will change, then maybe it seems like they have a chance to win the series. But they're really not in a good spot right now. And the Celtics don't even feel like they've been that tested so far. I mean, they shot really badly in game two. Jason Tatum did not score the ball well. He played well in every other facet of the game, but did not score the ball well. He hasn't even shown up in the series much at all in terms of, like, the elite offensive level offensive scorer that we were expecting to get. He hasn't really been that at all. All that happened, and they still won the game relatively comfortably. It never, you know, I watched the whole game. It never really felt like they were the worst team at any point. Even when the Mavs made a little bit of a run, it would always be like a run to cut it to 10 or a run to cut it to 8, and they were never really capable of, it never looked capable, and they were never capable of sort of getting over the hump and taking any kind of lead. It got a little bit close, and you know, almost felt like the Celtics were going to choke it away, but that's what it would have been. And I'm talking at the end of the game when P.J. Washington break away, and then Derek White gets a block slash foul slash maybe he would have not even made the dunk anyway. It's a little hard to turn to see. But that's exactly what it would have been. It would have been a choke because they were that much better for most of the game, and then they just ended up winning, you know, and that's what the better team does more often than not. I think something has to be said for how good Kristaps Porzingis has been in this game, or in this series. Hurt coming in, or he was supposed to be maybe not quite 100% coming into the series, has been a real difference maker on both sides of the ball. Blocking shots, making shots, getting to the rim, getting dunks. He's been the exact kind of, like, dynamic, over-the-top sort of icing on the cake that the Celtics have kind of needed in some of these games where they look a little stagnant against the Cavaliers, or they don't beat the Pacers by that much. By the way, the Florida Panthers have taken a 2-0 lead in the Stanley Cup Finals. Still 2 minutes on the clock where they just scored an open netter to make it 4-1. I feel like they're showing crowd shots right now. I think every single white person in South Florida is in this building. And maybe none of the 75% of Hispanic people. Kristaps has been very good. Kyrie has been very bad, and that's kind of been, I think if the Mavericks were going to win the series, they needed Kristaps to be hurt and clunky and not great or rusty, and they needed Kyrie to be really, really good. And the opposite of that has happened, and that's why the series doesn't feel all that close right now. Obviously, it goes to Dallas for the next game. No series is over till the home team loses, but Dallas needs to give people a reason to believe here pretty soon, or it's not going to be looking good. Let's talk real quick about the Wolves and the difference that the Celtics, you know, when a team wins the title, and it sure seems like the Celtics are going to do that, you sort of take what worked for them and you say, okay, how can we kind of make that happen for us? It's a copycat league a lot of times. You know, the reason they're going to win the title is because they're a really, really well-constructed team, so let's see if we can't take some lessons from what their team looks like and apply to us. I think the biggest difference is offensively, there's not a single person that you don't have supreme confidence to take and make shots, to get into their spots. You know, that wasn't supposed to be a bar, but it kind of was. On offense, the Wolves had Anthony Edwards. He's an elite offensive player. But we've seen with a lack of kind of other options, teams can tilt their entire defense at him and make him struggle a little bit. And then also, holy shit, some guy just got whipped in the face with a stick. When the play wasn't even happening. Hockey's crazy. My guy's not happy that they're losing. Anyway. That was electric. Oh, he just fucking stick right in the ball sack. That's some dirty shit. That's got to be like everybody hates you now, right? I mean, I am certainly not a big hockey guy, but I didn't know we were... That whipping dudes in the balls with your stick was anything that ever happened. I feel like that's some kind of... Got to be breaking some kind of massive unwritten rule. Anyway, what was I talking about? With us, the Wolves, offensively. Outside of Anthony Edwards, there's nobody that you really, really, really trust to go get you a bucket when you need a bucket. Rudy's not bringing anything to the table in that regard. Carl Anthony Towns is probably half the games when he's in really good rhythm. And we've seen, you know, Ant, like, feeding Cat in games where he's not in a good rhythm to try to get him to a good rhythm because he knows how important it is to have that second guy that can really score. Jaden McDaniels has some games where he goes for 25, but it's a lot of, like, opportunistic baskets. You know, he's capitalizing on assists from Anthony Edwards or Mike Conley, making a couple open threes in the corner, that type of thing. I think he's developing into the guy that can maybe be somebody like that, but isn't there yet. And beyond that, like, Mike Conley is that guy. But, like, Cal Anderson is not that, and he was getting a lot of minutes. Nikhil Alexander-Walker certainly isn't that. Talked about Rudy's can be a zero on offense at times. And just compared to Boston, where sort of this evolved level of the NBA, there's not a single guy on that team that's getting real rotation minutes that isn't an elite player offensively right now. And Drew Holiday is that well being an all-defensive team guy. You know, Jaylen Brown's good at defense. Jason Tatum's good at defense. It's not really good enough for the Wolves to just be good at defense and have one or two or three really good offensive players when there's teams out there that are really good at defense and then all five of them are really good at all five of them are really good offensive players. This is similar to what I was talking about last week where I was like, how awesome would it be to have a Chris Middleton? Like, it's that type of thing. Where just one really, really high-level offensive player would make a big difference for our team. And again, those guys don't grow on trees, so, you know, I'd love to see us trade for one or try to find one somehow. We don't have a lot of chips on the table, but in terms of cap space or draft capital because of the Rudy deal. In both cases, because of the Rudy deal, cap space and draft picks. the other thing is... that we, and so I guess you can consider that to be kind of a negative thing. You know, we don't have enough offensive players. That's kind of a negative thing. The other thing is you just kind of got to keep swinging. And, you know, the Celtics have been in the Eastern Conference Finals 6 years in a row. And this is... They've been in the finals and they've lost, and they've had some really bad defeats in there as well. Now is the time where they're going to win, and it's 6 years in. And so 6 years from now, we could have talked about the Wolves always being there and never quite getting there, but eventually they might just win. And I think especially in basketball, where if you have the star, you always have a chance to just keep running it back year after year after year. Is a good thing to be doing, you know. The Bucks got their one with Giannis because they kept running it back, and now they keep running it back, and maybe they'll get close. By the way, Drew Holiday and Dame trade. I was critical of it at the time on this very podcast, and I'm so very right now with the way Drew Holiday is playing in a finals. Offensively better than Dame has been at times this year, and Dame is a negative on defense. And obviously they got hurt, but they were nowhere near the team that this team is now. Partially because of the guy that they lost at the point guard position and the guy that they replaced him with. Anyway, that's not related. But the point is just keep, you know, the Bucks had Giannis. It wasn't working. Eventually it worked once, and because they kept going. And how many times did that Golden State team just come back and didn't change much? And even Denver, you know, had a sort of an early exit from the playoffs the year before they won the title, and just brought back the same guys, believed in it, added a couple few role players here and there that are helpful, and see what happens. I think that's what we have to do, and develop, you know, maybe it's a Leonard Miller into a really, really high-level offensive player. Maybe that's something that is possible. People have talked about it. We've never seen it, but maybe it's what happens. Trying to think if there's any other guys on the roster that can really be that. Probably not at the moment. Jaden continuing to develop, and if he can turn into a Jaylen Brown type, where he's a really good weapon on both sides of the ball, maybe. And we've seen flashes. Obviously, Ant turning into a Luka type is obviously, they're not at all the same size, but I'm talking about offensive weapon of that caliber would be huge. But yeah, that's enough about the Wolves. They're not even playing right now. Let's switch to the Twins real quick. We'll just talk about what's happened the past week. We'll talk about more in depth about the jerseys with Lou Schmidt. That's obviously the big news. The other big news is that, what were we? We're 2 of our last 7 since the last pod. 2-7 since the last pod for the Minnesota Twins. I guess we won today, so... No, that is included in the 2. Got swept by the Yankees. Avoided the sweep by 1 game. Just barely avoided the sweep to the Pirates. And then we beat the Rockies today in a clean dub for us. Royce Lewis hit a pump, I believe. Good to see him back. But anyway, let's talk about the 2 bad series. We're now 0-6 against the Yankees. We at least scored runs in this series. We had, kind of. I mean, it was 5-1, 9-5, 8-5. I'd love to, like, hop inside a Twins player's head when you see the Yankees, or you travel to Yankee Stadium, or you see the Yankees next on the schedule. It's like, do they believe that they can beat them? Because right now, this streak of really bad play against the Yankees has zero to do. Nobody is the same on either side, other than maybe the owners, than the teams that would just get killed by the Yankees in the mid-2000s. That we would just, like, run into in the playoffs and they'd always kill us. Like, nothing is the same at all, but we just still lose. And it makes sense, because it's just kind of what we're used to, what it's always been for us against that team. But it makes no sense why in 2024, Carlos Correa and Royce Lewis and Byron Buxton are losing to the Yankees, just because in 2007, Mauer and Morneau and Joe Nathan lost to the Yankees. Like, there's no reason that needs to be the way it is. Like, there's no reason Rocco needs to lose to the Yankees because Gardenhier did. But that's just what's happening. It's what's always happened. It's just what's going to continue to happen. It doesn't necessarily make any sense why it's happening. That's that series. I mean, Bailey Ober got pieced up. Chris Paddock got pieced up. They both just, I don't know. I don't really know the state of our starting rotation right now. It just seems like a lot of guys that you don't trust but can be really good. Because Bailey Ober in the last starting against the Pirates was really pretty good. Even Pablo Lopez got pieced up by the Yankees. And, the other thing is, like, the Yankees are a very good baseball team right now. And that's They're 45-19. They're hitting the shit out of the ball most games. So, like, that's the other thing that is maybe under all of this is that the Yankees just are just really, really good this year, and we just are really pretty average. That's it. All right. So that series is what it is. So frustratingly predictable. But what wasn't quite as predictable is the losing 2 of 3 to the Pirates. We didn't score a single run in the first two games. Lost 3-0 and 4-0. By the way, we avoided Paul Skeens in this series. So we lost to the Pirates twice without Paul Skeens is what that means. So that's kind of embarrassing. I think we got... I don't know exactly how the Pirates are running the rotation right now. I think Garrett Jones, who we faced... in the last game, the one where we won, I think Garrett Jones is their one starter right now. And Paul Skeens is their two ace. It's Jarrett Jones, not Garrett Jones. Jared Jones, my bad. Either way, I think he's their one starter. Paul Skeens is their two. Which means he would pitch their next game. Which, did that happen? Yes, that happened. And so that means I think the guys that pieced us up for two straight games where we didn't score any runs was their four starter and their five starter, and then the bullpen. Now, to be fair to us, they completely used their bullpen up such that they really didn't have anybody to finish game three of that series, which is kind of why they threw out a guy that really didn't have anything going for him and was pitching really pretty badly. To the tune of like 6 runs in extra innings of the final game of that series. 7 runs in extra innings, 7 runs in the 10th. Don't remember the poor guy's name, but he was struggling mightily out there. Heller was his name. he was really bad, kept hitting people. But anyway, it's very frustrating when the offense just kind of disappears out of nowhere against not very good pitching in this case. And these are the type of teams that we've been very good against. Pirates aren't horrible. They're in the sort of big fat chunk of teams in the middle right now that are neither good nor really all that bad. But we've been really pretty good against those teams a lot of this season. We've struggled against, you know, the Guardians and the Yankees and teams like that. And the Dodgers, when we played them. But, you know, a lot of the wins in that 17 out of 20 streak or run there were against teams like the Pirates. But, you know, didn't happen this time. Because the offense completely fell apart. Kirilloff is bad again, by the way. He feels like he might get replaced by Wallner soon. We'll watch for that. We beat the Rockies. The Rockies are a bad baseball team. Hopefully, we'll continue to beat them. But we'll talk more about that series probably next week when it's concluded. All right, I think that's good for the Twins. We're going to now kick it to... Wait, just let me see if there's anything else in the... We're going to now kick it to Loon Schmidt, the interview with Loon Schmidt, him coming on the podcast, and I'll see you after that for a postgame.
This conference will now be recorded.
All right, we welcome in Loon Schmidt. Debut on the podcast, I believe. Is that right?
It's my second time on, but man, it's had to have been 20 episodes at least.
Second time on. Must have been in a group last time.
Yeah.
Debut on the podcast. We had to save something special for episode 40 for the balloons out there. Loon Schmidt, how we doing?
You know, everything's good. We're kind of winding down the sports calendar here. It's going to be a little sleepy after hockey and NBA are done, but it's been a nice little stretch here. I really enjoyed watching a lot of playoffs.
It's gonna be mad sleepy.
Very, very sleepy.
All right, so we brought on Loon Schmidt to talk about a couple things. We'll talk a little NHL, we'll talk a little New Jerseys for the Twins and Vikings, and then he says he has a post game, so we'll do that. Starting right off though, tell me what's happening in the NHL, because I, as I've mentioned on the spot, I know nothing. I think I
Yeah.
could tell you which teams are in the Stanley Cup finals, but I don't know if I would have gotten that for sure.
Can we hear who you think are in the finals to be sure?
So it's the Panthers, because I live down here, and I mean nobody really cares about the Panthers, especially
Yeah.
not in Miami. That's more of a Fort Lauderdale thing, but and then it's whatever team McDavid's on, which I think is the Islanders.
Close. Yeah, you really don't know what's going on. So it's actually the Oilers from Edmonton. So they're trying to bring
Oh,
up.
they like look the same though, right? Like they both have the same
Correct.
colors. I think
Same
I mixed
colors.
those two up. Gretzky played for the Islanders though, right? No, that's wrong. He played for the Oilers.
Yeah. So we
Look
pretty
at me,
much got
huh?
the second coming of Gretzky here. Our generation's Gretzky, Connor McDavid, McJesus, as some call him, trying to get his first cup. These two teams are the two furthest geographical distances between any two teams in the league, maybe that have
All
ever
right.
played. Yeah, it's like over
Where is
20.
Ed? Where the hell is Edmonton?
Edmonton is in Alberta. It's about 22, 2300 miles away.
What about Vancouver? Isn't that further away? Not to poke a hole in your theory right away.
I don't know where my source is. I'm not quoting, but I definitely stole it from somewhere, so
All right, fair enough.
I trust that source. But yeah, it's a tight playoff series. Right now we're recording during the middle of game two. Florida won game one pretty handedly. It was a tight game. You know,
I heard about that.
they had control of it most of the time. Their goalie Bobrovsky for Florida has been incredible. He had over 30 saves in the first game, didn't allow any goals. And Edmonton's a tough team. They put up a lot of chances in that game, but just couldn't bury the biscuit.
So, Connor McDavid is the best player in the league. Is that right?
Yeah, and this guy Draisaitl on his line is absolutely nasty as well. He actually scored more points during the regular season, probably because he has McDavid on his line. But McDavid's been leading the playoffs in points so far.
So you played a little puck back in the day. How does that work if Buddy got fewer points but is better?
Well, he probably has a lot of assists from assisting on McDavid's goals, or since hockey has two assists, you know, there's just chances for him to touch the puck. And I can't remember exactly how it shook out on goals and assists and how tight they were, but I know Draisaitl will finish a little bit ahead of him, I believe, during the regular season. But yeah, they're both
Okay.
nasty, a couple of really good players. I think the series is fairly evenly matched. It'd be interesting to see what happens here. Hopefully, I'm hoping for Edmonton to win it all, so I'd really like to see them tied up here in game two, especially being on the road in your home state here.
What's the score right now?
It is 1-1. Edmonton got out to an early lead, and then Florida just scored and tied it here in the second. But Edmonton's got this nasty power play. Last year, they had the highest percentage in history of conversion rate scoring on the power play. This year, not quite as high. It's going to be hard to repeat that, but they're deadly. First in the league on power play, so they're incredible to watch.
On the pow plus, some might call
Pow,
it.
pow plus. Some loons know it.
Some loons know it as the pow plot. All right, so tell me, how close are the Wild to these two teams right now, or not?
So, the Wild are dead. They've been dead for a long
I
time.
mean, I
We've
know they're
still
not in it anymore, obviously.
got Kirill Kaprizov, which is truly special talent to watch. The Russian stud. He's a force to be reckoned with. He's gonna be fun for a long time, hopefully in Minnesota, like some of our other young studs.
Do we so are we like shit? I don't
You know,
remember what I looked up.
I didn't follow them too closely this year. They were just kind of sad to watch. So, yeah, they're not this caliber team that's remaining out here at all. Just
Someone write in and tell us if we're shit.
not in the same ballpark.
I'm gonna look it up right now. Who's favored to win the Stanley Cup Finals right now?
Going into the series,
do we think?
Florida was a slight favorite, and they're
Florida's favorite, and they won Game One. You said,
yeah. So they're gonna continue to be a favorite.
Interesting, but they don't have the two best players. Edmonton does, which is in Alberta.
Correct.
All right. Well, I mean, I know like 10 times more about hockey now. Do you have any other hockey takes? I don't have any other questions to ask because I don't actually know what I'm talking about.
No. Just for the record, Minnesota went 39 and 34, so they were above 500 this year.
Oh, look at us.
But in comparison to some other teams, like the Stars made the Western Conference Finals. They had 52 wins, so they had 13 more wins than we did. Let's see here. The Oilers had 49 wins, so they had 10 more wins than us. So yeah, we finished bottom three in the Central Division, but I don't know.
But we're above 500. That's better than I thought we were, honestly.
Yeah, it's not like we're completely ass. But no, I don't have a lot of hot takes. It was fun to see Edmonton get to the finals, especially since they were down 3-2 to the Stars, and I'm not a Stars guy at all. I think I'm just not a fan of Dallas sports in general. So.
Well, they used to be us, so that's kind of the beef, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that right? Look at me.
Yeah. North Star.
Edmonton's in Canada, and nobody from Canada has won in a while, right?
Yeah, it's been since 93 since Canada has a trophy, so looking to hoist that again.
Since Goose Pug's birth year.
Seriously. It's been a lot of years. But yeah, it'd be huge to see a win for Edmonton tonight. Because you know what they say about, well, maybe they just say it about basketball, but series doesn't begin until the home team wins a game.
Is that true in hockey too? Wait, wasn't Edmonton, that was the team that had the boobs, right?
It's the boobs
team.
That
was the thing?
Yeah.
We
haven't talked about that fan on the pod yet.
I saw that. Now it's all coming back to me. I should have known that Edmonton was in the finals because that girl was an Edmonton fan. And that was like this past week. So
how many times do you think you saw that on Twitter just inadvertently within the past week?
I feel like at first I like saw like the before and I was like, what's like, I just saw like screenshots when you couldn't see your boobs basically.
Yeah. Right.
And then I had to like go searching for the video a little bit to see like what I was looking at. But then, not like a bonk, but I just needed to like see what everybody's talking about, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't have any like hockey sort of in my algorithm at all. Cause I don't even like, I don't follow it at all. So I feel like it definitely could have been more for me, but, I saw it a few times for sure. And I had to look, I looked it up once or twice. I looked it up once.
Oh, you looked it up a second time, huh? You wanted to
try. I did not look it up a second time.
You went back for seconds.
No. I looked it up one time and I saw what it was about and then I moved on.
Do you have any good names for boobs? Do you have any good nicknames that you call them at all?
Like the Oilers. Just got them.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I don't. Other than the basic ones, I mean, tits is pretty good, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, balloons or sweater cannons or.
Sweater cannons. That's not really. Down here, it's like plastic sacks.
True. A lot of stuff down there.
Fake. All right, let's move on from boobs before we get too weird with it, I guess. Are we done with hockey?
Yeah, that was talking hockey right there.
That was half of it was about boobs. All right, good. Moving on. There's more than two teams in Minnesota, but two teams in Minnesota released new jerseys this past week. We'll go in chronological order, like 4 days ago or 3 days ago, whatever it was. The Vikings released an all-white alternate, like a color rush, but it's white, with no gold and like silver font instead of the gold, and like a special new white helmet. Loon Schmidt, how do you feel about it?
I love them personally, and I think these were one of the most well-received jersey releases, because a lot of times lately everyone just hates on every jersey that drops, and I'm hand up, I do that myself a little bit as well, but I feel like it's hard to come up with the good jerseys these days. You'll compare it to another team or say, you know, oh, they just copied someone else's, or just say they're terrible in general, but I thought they did a really nice job. I wouldn't have hated to see a little bit of gold there, but the thing that I really think they got right was the white helmets. The fans have been begging for the white helmets for a while, so really cool to see those.
The white helmets are fire, I agree. I think I'm mostly with you here as well. I think it'll look cool on we've seen all white before, but like the really all white with the all white helmets is going to look cool on the field. It'll look cool on Justin Jefferson. That's kind of the only thing you have to, you know, only test you have to pass here. I feel like the silver looks like a little, like it looks like a woman's jersey a little bit. That's my only problem. Like, you know, the ones you buy at Shields, like that Goose Faith Buy used to like wear, like the women's, like specifically women wear them and they're like made for women. I feel like it looks kind of like that, which is why I kind of don't like that. But I think overall they're good.
Yeah, I can see where you're going with that. They remind me of University of Sioux Falls.
Oh, I'm talking to the microphone. I don't know what's happening.
Sorry, I cut it. I think I had my thumb over it. They remind me of USF Goku. Shout out Goose Tanner.
Goose Tanner beating Goku. I feel like I feel like if we replace the silver with the gold, then it'd be fine. But they're supposed to, like, I saw some lady on like TikTok talking about it, how it's supposed to like evoke winter, and I guess that's cool because our winters, I mean, I say our winters, we are in Arizona and Florida right now, so it's not really our winters anymore, but Minnesota winters are fucking brutal, so I think it's kind of sick that we are covering that.
Yeah, and the only other thing I had to say is I saw some people saying, oh, you can't call them winter warrior jerseys when you play inside. It's like, okay, whatever. Like, I thought that was just the dumbest take for people to say.
Yeah, that's just like a Packers fan take, because their shitty fucking stadium, boring stadium, is outside. And they like go there and freeze their balls off and like say that it makes them better than us somehow. Cause like, I don't know, we're comfortable when we watch our team lose to Jordan Love, and you're not comfortable when he beats everybody. So whatever, jokes on them. Let's move on to the Twins jerseys. We were the, obviously the MLB has been doing the City Connect thing for like 3 years now at this point. Some of them are good. Some of them are very not. We were the last team. Well, there's two teams that aren't doing it. It's the Yankees that aren't doing it because they're the Yankees and they're like too traditional or whatever. And then the Athletics are not doing it because they're not very connected to their city at the moment. But we were the last team that's going to do it to actually release the jerseys. And they are if you haven't seen them, you should probably go online once in your life. They are, there's like a blue, it's like a very blue with yellow accents, like yellow belts and yellow Nike signs with an MN logo with yellow star in it. But then there's like supposed to be like waves on the top, on like the shirt, that are supposed to be the lakes. How are we feeling about these, Loon Schmidt?
I don't like them.
I'm kind of with you.
They are. I don't like the yellow.
Interesting.
Don't think they look like Twins jerseys at all. And red and blue are pretty damn good colors together. I just think it looks like we're the Royals.
Facts. I don't love them either. I think they would look way better with like white pants than they would with all blue, like the blue pants. Because like the little wave thing that they do on the shirt does not happen on the pants, so it almost looks like it clashes. If they had white pants, I think it'd be better. But also, I wasn't necessarily against the yellow, but then I saw a version where the yellow was replaced with like a bright red, and it is fire. So I'm kind of with you there that I don't love the yellow. I think the hat is kind of sick. I do think the hat's sick, but what were you
saying? think the hats. Yeah, I think the hat's okay. If I was to pick like what I liked most about them, the hat's cool. And then I don't mind the MN with the was that a little star or something on there.
A little star. Cool stuff.
The hats are okay. I can get by with rocking a hat. Just, I mean, the yellow, I know it's already on the Philly City Connect jersey. It's Seattle has the blue and yellow.
That's the problem with
Brewers have yellow. Just a lot of, I think right. Yellow is just their color this year for some reason. Just trying to bring back yellow or something.
That's kind of the problem with the City Connect jerseys is that you have to like make baseball jerseys. I feel like are so clean because they're so like minimalist. It's like white, maybe a pinstripe, some piping, and then like a logo, and it's or like some script like with the team name. It's hard to make a jersey that is like supposed to be interesting looking not look really fucking goofy, and like it's an adult slow pitch league jersey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I guess to explain it to the listeners who maybe haven't seen the jerseys yet, the yellow is just kind of the trim. They have yellow belts, yellow brims on the hats, yellow Nike symbol on the chest, and then actually on part of the jersey, I think it's the sleeves. I'm just on Instagram right now, and it says that the yellow accents shine like a ray of Minnesota sunlight, while a dash of pink, so there's pink next to the yellow. You can't really see it in the main picture, but if you look really closely, there's a dash of pink next to the yellow. And it says, well, a dash of pink gives the blissful feeling of a lakeside sunset. So, I mean, I get where they're going. That sounds pretty cool when they say their vision of it. But I don't know.
I think you got to be Royce Lewis himself to actually see the pink on these things. Like, it's got to be on your body to actually see it. But
I agree. It's tiny.
Wait, maybe I can kind of see it if I zoom in on this picture I'm looking at. Will somebody buy this and tell us whether actually there's pink or not? But I agree that with what you said earlier about there's a lot of like dark blue and a lot of even dark blue and yellow on all these jerseys that are supposed to be unique. They end up kind of looking the same, which is, I don't know, kind of lame. I think if this was the first one to come out, we'd be like, oh, it's sick, but it's the 30th to come or the 28th to come out. And it's just like, all right, it's a dark blue jersey. We've seen a lot of those so far.
Yeah, and baseball is just kind of a traditionalist sport being America's pastime. So I think seeing these jerseys being something new and flashy is just kind of, they're trying something. You got to give them that. They're trying something. Not all of them are great, but I do like a few of them.
I feel like if, like, going to a Marlins game, if they were wearing the City Connect, I'd be like, all right, that's cool. But, like, some teams going to their game and they're wearing some whack-ass jersey that has nothing to do with the rest of the color scheme, I'd be, like, low-key disappointed if I showed up to the game that day and they're wearing, like, the Cubs jersey, like, their City Connect, it sucks. Like, and I'd be pissed off if I traveled to see the Cubs and they weren't wearing the white and blue pinstripe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't like the Cubs at all. Boston done that yellow and blue for in the past before? I swear they have.
Well, it's like their marathon one.
So, yeah.
Some Terry's blew that up, and so then, like, it's kind of a thing for them. But,
yeah, that one's been around.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that was also like one of the very first City Connects, so I think that might be where you've seen it, but
yeah.
All right, that's enough jersey talk. I've been told you have a post game, Loon Schmidt. Let's hear the post game.
Post game is talking fingers. So
talking fingers, my favorite.
So for those of you that maybe don't know, we had a Loon business meeting last year. In Miami, and I had a broken thumb at that point, unfortunately. Few too many beverages on the golf course as a spectator led to that one.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah.
That happened. So that's in the past. About 2.5 weeks ago, I'm at a country bar. I've got all 10 of my fingers going in, and I wake up
where?
To the bar.
Oh, okay.
And I wake up the next morning, and I've got a really bad jammed finger. This time, it's the opposite hand. It's my right hand, my dominant hand, middle finger. It's, we are 17 days out now and still bad. It's starting to have not seen a doctor.
Okay. I was going to say that's probably next step, maybe.
Possibly. It's like the tip of the middle finger. So, you know, movement's all there in the hand. It's fine. But I definitely can't play golf yet.
I mean, that's a problem. Not playing golf for 17 days, whatever you said, however many days.
That's a problem because I've been playing weekly and getting the game a little bit dialed. I shot an 83, which, you know, for me is I'm happy with. I've been shooting pretty bad for my scores lately. So I thought I was turning a corner, and now I'm, you know, it's going to be at least 3 weeks to a month without playing golf. I've got bachelor party in 2.5 weeks, and I'm 50-50 right now. And if I'm going to make it for the round of golf.
Right. Right. You probably got to figure that out.
I'm on the hot seat here with drunken injuries, which is not great.
Do you have any idea how it happened?
Yes. I guess I skipped over that part. Riding a mechanical bull, so that's fun.
Oh, there you go. That'll do it. Did you get pinched, or what was the deal? You punched it? You got mad at it?
No, it was, you know, you fall off onto basically a bouncy castle. So I think it was the rope. I think it was the rope that I was holding. You know, bouncing you up and down, and I think I just smacked my hand on the bowl. It's my guess.
On the bowl. Yeah. Did you go one-handed then?
No, I was holding on pretty good with two hands.
One time I rode a mechanical bull at like my senior week in college at my loser small school, and everybody was going two hands, and then one of my friends was, and they were like lasting forever, and then one of my friends was like, no, you're a pussy if you don't go one hand, and then I didn't last long at all because it's way harder with one hand, and I'm still pissed about that. That's the only time I ever rode mechanical bull, but did not get injured, unlike Moose Smith here.
Yeah, so got to get that figured out. I guess the only other thing we should chat while you have me here is that I guess I didn't tell you we were going to go into this, but that schedule just got released for December 19th to January 12th. Did you see that? Football schedule?
The college football one, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, it's a mix of college and NFL.
I haven't looked at it, but tell me about it. I remember seeing that it came out.
Incredible. I'm going to, you know, for those of you with families out there, listeners, you are going to be spending a lot of time not with your family because there's Browns. I'm not going to go into each and every game, but there is a game almost every single night from the 19th of December until the 12th of January. It is just beautiful. We got Thursday, Friday, one game on each day, five games on Saturday, a game on Sunday, a game on Monday, two on Wednesday, a game on Thursday, a game on Sunday, a game on Monday, Tuesday, three on Wednesday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, just that is an incredible stretch.
That's crazy. We got Wednesday football for the NFL? Yeah.
Or what? So the Wednesday games are, we have Christmas Day, is Chiefs at Steelers, and then Ravens at Texans. And then the following,
that's crazy,
or the 11th of January, we have college football playoff quarterfinal 2 and 3. So we have Wednesday football mixed in.
Because it's kind of on Christmas and New Year's. Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I mean, December and January, when there starts becoming football on days that there isn't usually, because like the fall, you know, there's like 4 days of the week that are way better than the other days of the week just because there's football on at night. And that's Thursday, Friday, or Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
But we start mixing in football every single day of the week, and it just was Christmas and then New Year's. That's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And I won't even have to. I'll try tough. To see if I can come home for that. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I got a job now. That shit sucks.
A lot of football. Jobs do suck.
So my last thing, you've had a job for a while. You're a big job guy. Any advice for, you know, I've had a job for like 2 weeks. Any advice for me on how to make it not suck?
How to make it
off
not
the dome?
Suck. Yeah. Off the dome right away is do not give 100%. Definitely leave some, you know, if you're going balls to the walls all the time, especially in the beginning, they're going to set the expectations way too high for you. And that's exactly what you don't want to do. Once the expectations get high, they're going to stay high. So definitely Friday afternoon rolls around, do not be trying to overachieve. Just get the bare minimum done, especially in the summer on Fridays. Get the bare minimum done.
All right, do less.
Do you get to work remote at all?
I can if I want. So I usually take like Wednesday afternoons remote. I just say I have an appointment. Well, I don't. Yeah. I just started doing that now. Where I'm
I would
just like,
say
all right.
Split up your time, be remote at least, you know, as often as your boss will let you. That also helps to make
yeah,
it
yeah, I can't be that much because I work like directly with my boss like most of the day.
Yeah.
Like we're in the same fucking office and then the CEO comes in. Like I have, like my company is small. So like I work directly with C-level people. Like that's the only people I work with.
No big deal.
I mean, I'm super not a big deal, but like my direct report is the fucking second most important person in the company. So it's like, I'm always, you know, there's always important people around. I got to work hard, I feel like, but yeah. I don't know.
I'd say strap in with the AirPods. Make sure you got some, at the very minimum, some music. If you're not a podcast guy at work, I get it. Cause sometimes it's hard to pay attention to two things.
Yeah.
Music. If you can shut your door or have a little privacy, it's nice to be able to take some TikTok breaks during the day.
Yeah, I take a couple of those.
Another good line for you as you're getting into the workforce, you can use this one for your friends, is boss makes a dollar, I make a dime. That's why I poop on company time.
I do poop a lot at the office. That's
so
a good
one. Poop at the office or at the very least, go sit in there on your phone because it's just free 10-minute breaks.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
You know, if you took a 10-minute break to take a shit every single day, be a lot of days.
You're getting paid a lot of money to shit, low key.
Yeah.
When you add it up.
You're shitting money.
Yeah. Problem is, there's only like one stall in my office.
Yeah, it's not great.
So somebody else needs to shit. They know who's on the shitter.
Are you able to say whether you're salary or hourly?
I'm salary.
Nice.
So.
The other thing is come in about 5 minutes late every day. Take 5 to 10 extra minutes on your lunch as often as you can.
Well, I've been doing this thing where, like, I take the first half hour just I'm chilling. I'm usually there first, so credit to me for showing up before everybody else.
Grinder.
But that means I'm not doing any work during that time, basically.
Yeah. You're doing it right. You're doing it right.
So I take a little half hour. I lock in for a good 3 hours, bang out some shit, take a longer lunch. Lock in for another 3 hours, then take a little time off. Whatever time is left before the end of the day.
Yeah,
and then
I think you're getting the hang of
it. That's kind of been the move. All right, well, that's good. That's good.
But feel free to share some more tips on the pod as you come up with some, because
I come up with tips on how to work when I've been working for two weeks.
Yeah, more tips on how to make work suck less as you learn.
All right, that's true. All right. Any other takes to get off on the pod while you have this massive platform?
No, I appreciate you giving me this platform. I want to thank not only God, but Jesus. And thanks to all the listeners. Thanks for making 40 episodes great. Intern, you've done a great job keeping up with it through thick and thin. I know it gets busy.
We really couldn't do it without the listeners.
Thanks for putting out good content week in and week out. Hope our notes are encouraging to keep this thing rolling.
All right. Sounds good. We appreciate you coming on.
All right. Thanks, intern.
All right, postgame. I know Loon Schmidt shared his own postgame, but I'll do my own postgame as well. Postgame this week is that I went golfing with a Navy SEAL. That's kind of fire, right? So getting back out there on the course a little bit after some time off, game kind of completely fell apart. So I've been practicing and then it fell apart again. So anyway, been trying to get out there at least once a week, trying to go once a week to play full 18 and then go to the range in the middle of the week somewhere. I've been able to do it some weeks, not some others. But anyway, couple weeks ago, played a random 18 late on like a Sunday afternoon at the course that's closest to me. That's cheap as fuck. It's like the worst course in all of Miami, but it's where I play most of the time because it's cheap. Met a dude there that goes to med school at the U, only a couple years older than me, normal dude, likes sports. So anyway, I got, you know, we played the whole round and then got his number at the end so we could play again. Played again this past, so made a little buddy. That's the real news of this. But anyway, played again this past, whatever day it was, Saturday, down in Homestead, which if you don't know Miami area, which why would you? It's like 30 minutes south of Miami, like basically in the middle of a swamp. Anyway, play with him there. It's the two of us on like a midday tea time, so we're kind of expecting to get paired with some randoms, two randoms. So the two randoms show up and they're like with their two of them together. So, introduce yourself, do all the regular bullshit, whatever. One guy is like young, like 30 ish, maybe like 34 looking, looks like he's 34. In really good shape, like working class looking, you know, I'm thinking these dudes are probably like, you know, HVAC installers or some shit. I don't know, fucking know. And one guy likes to go to the gym. Like, that's what I'm thinking. The other guy's, like, not in great shape. He's not, like, gross or fat or anything, but both of them tattoos everywhere. This other guy's, like, kind of goofy looking. Kind of, I don't know. It's a little, like, Goose Hunter Lawson vibes, if anybody knows who that is. All the loons that know who that is. Anyway, so, you know, the random bullshit when you play with a guy people you don't know, it's like, oh, where are you from? Like, you from Miami? They're like, no, we're from Virginia. We're here on a work trip. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You guys working up in Miami or, like, why are you down in Homestead was my question because we're 30 minutes away. And they're like, no, we're working in Key Largo, which is the first key connected to the mainland. Obviously, Key West is the one everybody knows. But it's the first key that's close to the mainland. It's basically the mainland. And I was like, and it's not too far from Homestead. So I was like, oh, that makes sense. And then I don't think about it twice at all. Like, I don't know why anybody would go on a business trip to Key Largo, but at the time I didn't think about it. Two holes later, my buddy's talking to them and I like overhear something about like diving and shit. And so I go closer and I'm like, what was it you guys say? Like, what are you guys here for again? And the in shape one is like, I'm a diver with the Navy and he's a SEAL. And I'm like, a Navy SEAL? I like literally said that. I was like, well, obviously they're fucking talking about the Navy SEAL. It's not like he's an animal SEAL, but I just couldn't believe that this dude, the Hunter Lawson looking dude, was a Navy SEAL. Like that dude's met Bin Laden. But anyway, you don't expect to run across a Navy SEAL at the golf course. That's not, and also you don't expect a Navy SEAL to sort of look and act like this guy did. He was also not good at golf. Neither of them really were. Both very funny, both very normal, both like sports. And you know, like, it was a very fun round overall. You know, sometimes you end up with a random and it's like a weird old dude that gets weirdly angry, even though he's played the same level of shitty golf for like 50 years. And it's just, or you get like a, you know, two dudes that are like not really trying to chat, like whatever. These dudes were both super cool, super normal, talking about sports the whole time. One of them is just a Navy SEAL. And he's like, yeah, I know. Like, people don't realize that Navy SEALs are just, we're just regular dudes that went through really tough training like 10 years ago. And I'm like, I guess that makes sense. But I mean, buddy was in town to like do some diving certification where he like takes a test of like extreme diving, like literally the next day. And the guy that was like adjudicating whether he would pass the test was the other buddy that we're playing golf with. So it's not like, I mean, these dudes are like doing some serious shit the next day, and they're just getting hammered on the golf course and hitting the piss out of the ball, like, but badly, like swinging hard as fuck and not playing very good golf. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe this isn't like a crazy story, but like, you just don't expect to be playing golf with a seal, and you don't expect a seal to be looking like that. But I guess they probably are just normal dudes. Anyway, that's the story. Is there a seal emoji? I think there's a seal emoji. Like the actual animal. If not, I don't know, like a soldier or some shit. Whatever. That's the show. Peace.